it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Expectations now changing for everybody?
They could, and they almost should, in a vacuum, be 10-3. By the time they get to their bye. The only team they should lose to on paper in a vacuum is Tampa. They should be able to beat Atlanta at home. They should be able to take care of business against all those other teams, the Giants, the Titans, the Browns, Jets. So I do think that the AFC landscape has drastically changed.
Are you serious right now?
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
It is Wednesday here on WEEI Afternoons, and we're well aware the hype train didn't slow down between Tuesday and Wednesday. The Patriots hype train is headed to Nolens, and I'll give you my personal example of the hype. Someone in my world texted me, I think I should put $1,000 on the Pats to lay 3.5. And I was like,
what?
Are you out of your mind?
Wow, nice to know you're still talking with your son every day.
Are you out of your mind, bro?
Where's he getting that? Yeah, what? Jackson tapped into the family reserves now already?
Yeah, the NIL money's coming in.
But I will say, Tom Curran, who'll join us tomorrow at 3:30, is a week removed from Drake May. There's a dark side. There's a dumbness to his game.
I like that headline.
I still think, I liked it for a little while, I still think that there's some dumbness to this team. I'm sorry.
Where's the dumb?
I don't know. You had two defensive linemen with 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct
penalties. But that, what they were, hold on.
That's dumb.
I'm going to cut them a little bit of slack.
Why?
Because.
What are you, Rabel?
Don't worry.
Yes, yeah, you can commit all the penalties you want here in playtime. It's okay. It's, you know, it's.
Penalties don't correlate to winning and losing.
Romper room. Well, they're geeked up. It's Sunday Night Football. You're in Hell's Mouth out in Buffalo. You're trying too hard. They'll dial it back.
Okay, how about when you want to go jumbo package to pick up a short yardage play and the jumbo you brought in can't stay on side for the
Which
snap
jumbo
count?
Was that?
That was Vidarian Lowe.
Oh, but see that you with Vidarian Lowe, you know.
Is he still on the roster?
Is he?
Is he? He is.
Oh, okay. All
yes, Dan Ball?
What if you have a running back who's overly generous and likes to give the ball to the other team more than keep it for himself?
Great example. Mm-hmm. He fumbled again, and the coach is like, don't worry about it. There's nothing that correlates fumbling to winning.
Listen, we signed a practice squad running back from Atlanta. Our fumbling problems are over. Rearview kid.
Jashawn or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't even know his last name. Jashawn is all. Yep. Corbin. Jashawn Corbin. Signed to the practice
squad. Sounds like a name from Arrested Development.
So I get why people like what they see from the Patriots. I get it. They played really well against a bad team, and then they followed it up by playing really well against a good team. They've won 2 in a row. They've won 3 overall, which in New England, based on recent years, you're almost matching your season total. Remember?
One more win.
Actually, no, you matched last year's because you were a 3-win football team. You take out that debacle. Yeah.
You won 3 on purpose last year. You won 3 on purpose so far this season. So far, if Mike Vrabel wanted to retire right now, he could say, I did what Gerard Mayo did, but in only 5 weeks' time.
He's a little young to retire. Although he did play, he's probably got good bank.
But you know what? If you've got enough money, you go on those Viking River cruises where they serve you wine in your room and you go traveling.
Or maybe just put $1 million on the Patriots to cover the 3.5 in New Orleans and then call it a career.
This just in, teaser to the 3-point stance. I'm not so sure I'd be putting that 3.5 down.
Oh, negative Fitzy. He likes the Bills. Fitzy, he likes the Yankees.
Hater.
Does he like the Saints?
The hater.
Spencer Rattler. But it's the Patriots are playing well, and then we get the fortuitous stretch of the schedule, which the whole damn schedule is basically fortuitous, except for the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, they've got like a tough game left.
They really do. The Ravens. And the Bills. I mean, just because it's at home, we're not penciling that in as a victory. I would actually pencil that in as a potential ass-whooping when Josh Allen goes, remember that last game?
Ass-whooping? I think this team at this point now is ass-whoop preventable. I think they are immune to ass-whoopery.
Boy. So Tom Curran's telling me they're going to be 10-3 at their bye. You're telling me they're, what is the word?
Ass-whoop immune.
Ass-whoop immune.
A-W-I.
And I get it. We look at the schedule. The 1-4 Saints on the horizon. Then the 1-4 Titans.
Dub.
than the 1-4 Browns.
Mind you, the Titans.
Tell me if you see a trend. The Titans have
a win because of the stupidest play of the year, if not the last 5 years, by Arizona's running back and literally the craziest touchdown I've ever seen in football.
And then it jumps up from 1-4 to 2-2 for the Falcons, a team that got blown out by the Panthers, the team you blew out a week later.
And then came back and knocked down the Commanders.
And then you have a real game against Tampa Bay, but then it's the Jets at 0-5.
See, yeah, there's three potential L's right there.
Jets at 0-5 on Thursday Night Football. Could that AKA be Aaron Glenn's last game? They got the long week after that. Do they can his ass?
No, he makes the season.
Rich Kotite's like, please become the worst coach in the history.
Al Groh's like, wow, even I knew when to pull out of this.
And the Bengals, 2-3.
Uh-huh.
Normally you'd be like, oh, the Bengals, tough game.
Big heave-ho Joe and the Bengals.
Joe Flacco, maybe.
Side note, do we think Joe Flacco, because Jake Browning's been very disappointing this season. 2 years ago.
He's proving my point. Everybody thought he was a good backup quarterback. There's no such thing.
He was sneaky. No. I,
good backup quarterbacks get exposed about hypothesis. Two games in.
No, Jake Browning was excellent a couple years ago.
For how long?
Longer than two games.
You sure about that?
Yep.
You sure about that?
I'm sure about it. Pretty sure.
Check it.
Yep. I will. I'll fact check it.
Everybody liked him because his wife wore a one-piece skin-tight cat suit
thing. That was part of the equation. I'm not going to lie. And you can't take your eyes off his girlfriend.
That was true.
Yeah.
Will Fleming's like, yeah, that was true.
Yeah, no, completely honest. But he's been a massive disappointment, and the Bengals have lost three in a row. They had to make the move. From what I read this morning on ESPN, they tried desperately to get Kirk Cousins. They tried to get a bunch of different backups. None were available. They even tried to get Famous Jameis, which would have been... Ja'Marr Chase and Famous Jameis on the same team would have been a show.
Now, that game signed me up for because I'm thinking 45-42, whoever wins. Because you're going to be in a shootout with Jameis, but he's going to give you defensive scores.
That's where you tell the friend of yours that said, oh, should I bet $1,000 on the Pats? You say, no. You bet $5,000 on the over.
Pound the over. Speaking of the over real quick... This is the saddest text I believe we've ever heard. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dan Ball. The 959 says, wait, we heard Hart and Fitzy were killed in a car accident. They are still alive? Very sad to hear. That might be the meanest text ever.
What?
That's hurtful.
Where?
Who's spreading rumors that we were dead?
Who writes that kind of crap?
And why would we be in the same car?
Honestly, who starts their day by saying, you know what I need to do? I need to write a fake death text about some radio host.
And about us. Like, if you're going to do it, make it somebody a little bit more notable. No, I mean, we are who we are.
Right.
Like, maybe do, like, Stern.
Man. But you know what it is?
Don Imus. Is he still with us?
Buffalo.
Or is he already gone?
Imus?
Yeah.
Or 7FAR, Don Imus here.
He's already gone? You can't write it about it. Well, you could. It'd be true.
All right, man. I won't be joining you for dinner. I'm dead.
Getting back to the Patriots. Everybody is now penciling in playoffs. I did the poll yesterday. It was well over 80% of Patriots fans now, and I use this word intentionally because words have meaning, expect the Patriots to make the playoffs. Expect. We are 2 weeks removed from a loss to the Steelers in which you accurately described it, turned it over six times because it ended on downs. That's a sixth turnover. Turnover on downs is
six.
Literally how
One
they
more,
call
it. One more, it would have been seven.
So 2 weeks removed from that. And one of the wins was a blowout of Bryce Young, who looked like he didn't want to play for the Panthers anymore late in that game.
Except then the next week, he and Rico Dowdle came back and they were down, what was it, 17-0, 17-3, 21-0 against the Dolphins and like found their mojo all over again.
But that's irrelevant. It's a bad football team with a bad quarterback. He's been benched previously in his career. So you get one win in Buffalo, and I don't want to alarm you people.
Yep, here we go.
But you people always tell me
2-12.
Every year the Patriots find a way to steal a game from the Bills, correct?
They kind of seem to, yes.
Okay.
Does that devalue this win? Whether it's a three pass affair in Buffalo in 2021, the game in 2023 where Josh Allen played like crap. Last year, of course, the let's blow the first overall pick game, all of those.
So you beat the Bills. You people tell me you always beat the Bills.
Well, see, here's the thing. This is my big question based off of something you said on Monday. We never really got to it yesterday. How much of Sunday's surprise win or like upset, you can't not call it an upset if you're an 8.5-point dog on the road. How much of that upset was on the Patriots' effort and how much of it was because Buffalo didn't play to their best?
I give most of it to the Patriots' effort. I don't think the Bills played terribly. Obviously, the turnovers, big factor.
Yeah,
turnovers were key.
I'm 70-30, 75-25.
I think the Patriots went into Buffalo and beat the Bills. I just don't know if the Bills and Sean McDermott, we played the audio from last Wednesday. He was trying to cull up competitive nature in his team. He was trying to get his team to avoid a letdown, to avoid looking past the Patriots and say, no, the Patriots and Drake May got something going. And he couldn't do it because the Patriots had more energy. Stephon Diggs had more energy. There was more competitive fight. Compete level. It's hockey season, so we can bring compete level to the conversation here for the Patriots. There was more compete level for the Patriots than there was for the Bills on Sunday night.
I have some good news for you regarding Steph Diggs and their mindset towards Sunday. We have some fresh audio from the Patriots locker room, courtesy of our pal Megan Ottolini, where Steph Diggs addresses that same notion of gearing up for Buffalo and then actually needing to realize how important it is to bring that same level of energy, that same level of compete, that same level of preparation for New Orleans. We have, it's being
effort. Oh, you're right not now. Setting it it's, up. No, I thought you were setting it up there.
I was trying
I had
to
no idea what you
I
were
was
doing.
Trying to stretch for time. I was just, come on, vamp a little longer. It might almost be there.
So we'll have what? That.
We'll have that soon.
Steph Diggs audio from Gillette talking about a Patriots letdown. Is there a potential for a letdown this week in New Orleans, or is this just hit the accelerator and beat the teams you are supposed to beat? Are the Patriots good enough, and are they trustworthy enough to say, oh, you're supposed to beat that team, you're supposed to beat that team, you're supposed to beat that team, and can they go on a run here to, again, Tom Curran said 10-3 at your bye week. 10-3, talk of not just the town, NFL, double-digit wins. Are you recalculating your win total for the season? I think we're going to do that a little bit later.
We're doing that already, five weeks in?
Well, throughout the offseason, we recalculated downward most times. We reacted to joint practices and preseason games and all of that. Are we recalculating upward? Because you know who did? Las Vegas. The win total for your New England Patriots is now 9.5.
Come on.
So if you want the over, you got to take the Tom Curran-esque 10 wins or the Brian Hoyer-esque high range, 10 or 11 wins.
So just to follow this, they opened at 7.5, went to 8.5, then after week one went down to 7.5.
Correct.
And now after four weeks later and two straight wins, one against a bad team, one against a good team, they're up to 9.5.
But I will say, I think Vegas is also probably calculating in what I just read. 1-4, 1-4, 1-4, 0-5. The team's on
the
schedule.
They do all the numbers.
The schedule is weak. We knew it was weak coming into the season. It's probably weaker than it was because the Ravens aren't as good and the Bengals don't have a quarterback. 617-779-7937. We're talking about the Patriots and the recalibrated expectations for this football team. I believe Stiz now has that audio that Fitzy was talking about. Stephon Diggs, can the Patriots be trusted? Will the Patriots have a letdown? What does the guy who brings the juice to the team have to say about it?
I think it's super important that we flip the page, considering New Orleans Saints is a really good football team. I know the record might not show it, but they're very skillful up front and in the back end. And, to be honest, it might be a bigger test than last week, just as far as like having success and being able to replicate that process, or you know, do it all over again, and you know, work equally as hard and attention to detail and focus. Because this opponent, I know their record doesn't say it, but that's a good football team, and they've been in one-score games plenty of times, and I don't expect it to be no different. We got to go in there with the right mindset.
He continues to
impress,
succeed everywhere except social media. If I ignore social media existing and any photos, videos,
that's,
allegations,
that's really hard to do. In
just ignore social media. Stephon Diggs is a hell of a Patriot, hell of a teammate, hell of a leader, hell of a player. He's bringing everything to the table that you could ask for and more.
Scorching take inquiry coming in 3, 2, 1. Is Stephon Diggs the leader and face of this team?
Right now, he feels like the leader. He definitely, well, are we eliminating Vrabel or is Vrian?
I think Vrabel. I'm hearing more from Diggs than I am from Vrabel now, and I see more Diggs. Andy.
Stephon Diggs is a better leader
Andy,
than Mike
in
Vrabel.
Hot
take Fitzy.
In three clips, the pregame interview with Melissa Stark, the on-field, we all we got, we all we need, and then the postgame locker room speech. In those three clips on Sunday, plus, oh, that incredible 10-catch, 146-yard effort, it feels to me like Steph Diggs grabbed the available face of franchise and leadership mantle and went running with it. And if that knee holds up, he's not going to let it go.
Yeah, the leadership here is... if there was a pause there, it's because I was being talked to in my ear, and I'm not great at that. Like, I'm being told here.
We have some developing news that we were telling Andy about that we'll get to next.
Yes, the second segment of this show is going to be quite interesting.
Football-related?
Football-related, and we'll get to it. I'll tease it properly as we get there, but who's just to put a bow.
Some would say we're not talking about this.
Yeah, we're not talking about this.
Oh.
To put a bow
sex
on...
Sex tape?
To put a bow on the thoughts that, yes, Diz put a sex tape in the kitchen. It's yours free if you want to go pick it up.
Really?
That's what everybody's taking. He put them in real DVD cases, but there's 31 versions of Stiz Goes to Chelsea, or whatever you want to call
it. Boy, are you going to be disappointed.
One night in Chelsea. One night in Chelsea with Stiz as the lead role.
Yeah.
I like it.
Boom.
Have you ever seen Stiz behind bars?
Nope. Don't want to. Also, don't want to see him naked or in the act of anything like that. I like him behind
the
glass.
Stiz, you are like
the
new Ernest. Like, we should just make a series of movies with you, just like Stiz goes to summer camp. Stiz gets a job.
All right, coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we have some interesting commentary on Bill Belichick. Are they talking exit strategy at North Carolina? Ted Johnson said yesterday he might not make it through the season. Could it come to an end faster than that for the Tar Heels coach and former greatest football coach of all time, Bill Belichick chatter? More of it up next here on WEEI Afternoons. Remember, stick around 3:45 for Adam Schefter, and maybe most importantly, 5:30. Quiz with Stiz is back. You know the man. You know the game. It is the most popular part of our show at times. Quiz with Stiz, 5:30. But up next, another popular part of our show. It's Dan Ball and that beautiful voice with What's Trending.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon. New England continues their 3-game road trip in New Orleans against the Saints on Sunday. Kickoff for that one is at 1 p.m. Yesterday, the Patriots signed running back Jayshon Corbin to the practice squad. Corbin played for the San Antonio Brahmas of the UFL in 2025, leading the league with 514 yards on 97 carries. He also scored 4 touchdowns. Per ESPN's Mike Reese, free agent running backs Deion Jackson and Damian Martinez were also in for tryouts with the Patriots on Tuesday. From around the NFL, the Cardinals are fining head coach Jonathan Gannon $100,000 for his sideline altercation on Sunday with running back Amari Deer Mercado. And the Giants, wide receiver Darius Slayton is not expected to play tomorrow night against the Eagles because of a hamstring injury. From around Major League Baseball, the Mariners took a 2-1 series lead with an 8-4 road win in Detroit last night. Game 4 of that series is today. First pitch at 3:08. Bryce Miller, Casey Mize, the pitching matchup there. The Yankees extended their season with a 9-6 home win over the Blue Jays in Game 3 last night. Game 4 is tonight. First pitch at 7:08. Louis Varland, Cam Schlittler, your pitching matchup there. In the National League, the Cubs host the Brewers for a Game 3 at Wrigley. First pitch is at 5:08. Quinn Priester, Jameson Taillon, your pitching matchup. Milwaukee leads that series 2-0. And in the late game, the Dodgers host the Phillies for Game 3. First pitch is at 9:08. Aaron Nola, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the pitching matchup there. L.A. leads 2-0. The Bruins open up the 2025-26 season in Washington against the Capitals tonight. Puck drop is at 7:30. Boston then hosts the Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow night. Jeremy Swayman, Logan Thompson, your starters in net this evening. And the Celtics open up their preseason schedule tonight in Memphis against the Grizzlies. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I have just gone to behind the paywall of one of the main North Carolina Tar Heel websites, and I'm going to read you directly what their insider, Andrew Jones, what he just posted. The reports on X that Bill Belichick has been fired are not true. That said, potential exit strategy discussions took place this morning. It doesn't mean Belichick will be fired, but preliminary conversations about the situation and its many prongs, effect, etc., were up for discussion.
Theme song. Oh, whoa. I like this one. I see where you're going with this one. So,
That audio was from the three-man front on WJOX, where the jocks come to play football.
Is that really called 24/7? JOX?
I don't know. Dan said it in my ear, so I'm trusting Dan. That's what I'm going with.
Wow.
But we have some borderline breaking news, and I'm going to read to you from Pro Football Talk, which is always right, except when they're wrong. Like when they reported Terry Bradshaw died 25 years ago, and I still watch him every single Sunday on my Fox.
How about Andy Kaufman?
Shows. Bill Belichick coached the Patriots for 24 seasons. He may not finish one at the college level, is the first sentence of the report on Pro Football Talk. And they are citing a report that I tried to read, but these smart son of a guns have it behind a paywall. They know when they're in the spotlight. It's,
what is it? Via at heel 24/7, I believe, also is the
24/7 Sports, which is owned by CBS. Andrew Jones, not that one, not that.
Wait, the Curacao kid?
Not Andrew Jones. That one, different Andrew Jones. Okay. Quote: the CBS reports the potential exit strategy discussions occurred this morning at North Carolina. And while it doesn't mean Belichick will be fired, quote, preliminary conversations about the possibility have occurred. The goal reportedly would be to eliminate or minimize Belichick's buyout. He had $30 million guaranteed, so there's $20 million for the next 2 years. So clearly they're looking to fire him. Because if you're removed with cause, that's how you get out of the buyout. If you're not removed with cause.
Correct. Then you have to pay full freight.
So they're talking
what
about,
is cause? What is cause going to be? The way
let me continue, I'll tell you.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's more to the report.
The fast-rolling snowball seems to be related to accounts of potential rules violations. We read the report the other day here from WLARARL, I don't know, some TV station down there that was talking about tickets. And some players being allowed on the field while other players are not. Access passes for parents. Well, one assistant coach has already been suspended for that violation. That was improper benefits. Even in the NIL era, there still are some rules for college football. And this week, the reports emerged that the assistant coach was suspended for providing extra benefits to players' families. And players were selling free tickets they had received for games, which apparently also.
This sounds like some Jim Tressel level action.
Jones reports, citing an unnamed source, there are many other violations that have occurred, many on the recruiting front. So apparently the program has a ton of violations in the short time, less than a year that Bill Belichick has been there. Jones adds at this end as his opinion on the matter, I don't think it's a lock that Belichick coaches the Cal game. That is their next game. They have a bye weekend this week. A week from now, they will play Cal. There is already speculation that he may not coach that game.
Does he come back and be interim defensive coordinator for the Patriots?
I don't think that's happening. I don't believe he's
great
welcome in Foxborough.
Think alike. There
even
you
though
go.
They said he was welcome in Foxborough.
Yeah.
And by the way, they have a defensive coordinator. His name is Zach Hardcore, and he's doing a great job.
Yes,
with
he
the
is.
Unit. Bill Belichick is absolutely blowing up his legacy right now. And from a North Carolina perspective, it's also very interesting because the normal chain of events here might be, oh, you get rid of the coach, he's running a terrible program, to promote one of his assistants. Are you going to promote Steve Belichick and make him the interim head coach at North Carolina? Feel like that's not going to happen. Freddie Kitchens, whose offense has been horrific and part of the reason they stink at North Carolina.
Well, not having a quarterback, having two quarterbacks who can't really play that well, which means you have none.
So all you people who told Ted Johnson that he was crazy when he said this was going to be a debacle, it wouldn't end well, that North Carolina should look to get out of this deal with Bill Belichick before he had even coached a game, you owe him an apology. Because
Ted?
I can't remember a disaster at this level. This early, first-year coach who is five games in, and he hasn't won a real football game at the college level.
What are you talking about? Richmond is a powerhouse.
No, it isn't. Not on the ACC level. Nope, also not ACC. I kind of pushed back when Paul Feinbaum made the comment yesterday that Belichick is going down the path toward being the worst coach in the history of college football.
That takes talent.
If he doesn't make it to the Cal game, he's going to have, I don't know if he's the worst coach, he's going to have the worst tenure of any coach in college football history. I think Stiz has the Feinbaum audio.
I mean, we're talking about Bill Belichick, who is the greatest NFL coach in history. Right now, Jeff, he's working toward being the worst coach in college football history. That's how bad he is. There's nothing to be happy about. There, I mean, it's an abject disaster. I feel badly for the guy because it seemed like a good idea at the time. But right now, I mean, who in their right mind would want to go play for him?
That's absolutely not true.
Okay, yeah, so it never seemed like a good idea.
How do you actually, like, how do you balance on the scales of career judgment the idea that you were the greatest or one of the greatest pro coaches, but somehow managed to be the worst college football coach? Like, where do you lose your mind? Is somewhere in that 5 years from Brady's departure to now, did he just lose all fastball?
No, I just think he was so ill-prepared to survive in the college game. You could argue it's also the hardest time to survive in college football with NIL and transfer portal and free agency. And he made the comment in one of his early press conferences, well, I think NFL free agency prepares me for this. This is very similar. But right. This is, it's a massive transition for anyone. Never mind a guy who literally has never done it and is 73 years old. And to think Mike Lombardi, I'll give my buddy $1 million to be the GM and he'll figure this out and we'll go to Tabor Academy and we'll recruit these guys and then we'll go to these other mid-major schools or whatever, South Alabama, we'll buy a quarterback. I mean, it's not really surprising. This is a little bit like Matt Patricia coaching the offense. Like, how did you expect this to work?
That was reasonably functional. Like, they at least scored 23 points.
You broke a quarterback.
Wow.
You ruined a guy's career. You cost Mac Jones somewhere in the range of $250 million. Well, so don't tell me it was functional and productive.
They can write a check.
I mean.
No, but I'm saying, like, that team still went 8-9. That team still averaged 23 points a game. They didn't only score 4 points a game.
That team had talent. And
I know. That's the point here. Even as much of a debacle as that was, it is not as debacle-rific as what's going on now in North Carolina. They beat two teams that honestly wouldn't probably beat Walpole High School. And on top of that now, there's the multiple violations and the sideline shenanigans he's putting on with Princess Sparkle Pants and everything else. Andy, he is tarnishing his legacy to a point where this will not be looked upon as the Michael Jordan on the Wizards portion of his career. This is going to be looked upon as, oh, really? You thought you could win without Brady, huh? Well, not only could you not win with Brady at the pro level, you couldn't win with Brady or anybody else on the collegiate level. By the way, he relocated his entire family. It took Steve out of Washington, where he had a great job as Jed Fish's defensive coordinator.
He's an adult. He could have said no, Dad.
Did he have any idea it was going to go this poorly, too?
Has he been around his dad recently?
You had your intuitions as to why this would go poorly. So did Ted. And if Ted has a vendetta with Bill, that's fine, too. I don't think that really colored and tainted this that much. Not a single person in the world thought it would be this bad.
Okay.
This bad.
I asked you guys this yesterday, and I've genuinely been wondering this myself. You asked, famously, Drake May, if he cared about winning.
Yes.
Did Bill really care about winning, or was this like a quick grab bag? I'm going to go to UNC. I really don't care what my record is. I'm getting $20 million. I'll get my buddy Mike Lombardi a mill. I'll get my kid a job. I'll get him a quick bag. Like, did he really care about winning and what this may or may not do to his legacy? Probably not thinking it would tarnish it as bad as it seemingly has.
He has a massive ego, so I don't think he ever thought it would be this bad.
Because 20 million is 20 million.
I think his ego says, worst case scenario, I'm Mac Brown. And we go 7-6 or whatever they did last year that got Mac Brown fired.
I think that's
what he sees as the worst case scenario. He didn't see wheels fall off. Oh my God, I could
did
get
he
fired.
See 48-14 in the opener with people leaving in the third quarter?
No. I don't know who that is.
There is no chance that he saw that. And I think he knew he would bring eyeballs and attention. And Stiz, you were like, oh, they're selling out season tickets. He knew he could do that. He knew just going like this, holding up the rings, that would work.
So you're telling me that this may affect UNC's bid to become an SEC team?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to add to that. And it's also tarnishing. I keep going back to this. I don't know if people realize how great a school UNC is. This is annoying people on the academic side of things. Like, we're not an Ivy League, but we're on that level.
No, they're Ivy. They're like Vanderbilt. They're
right,
Ivy
but they're not
adjacent.
An Ivy League. I mean, no. You can't say you're in the Ivy League if you're not in the Ivy League.
You can call yourself the Ivy League.
And this is tarnishing the overall. This is a massive story. Despite what some texters want to say, why are you talking about? This is a massive story in the world of football, professional football, college football, sports, and
New England sports. For
thanks
sure.
to Jordan, pop culture. She brought in sort of a casual football slash, oh, the tabloids kind of TMZ fan to this. This is a massive story that no one could have seen unfolding probably this horrifically and this detailed. You know, you go back to the podcast with Charlotte Wilder, like, oh, Jordan has been basically stalking them and making them talk on the phone for like 5 hours to tease them that she might do a podcast with them. Like,
hi, it's the world. It's the, what did she introduce herself
as? The president of your world.
But yeah.
Like, no one could have ever seen those aspects of this, or Bill at the Miss Maine pageant at some Holiday Inn that Stiz was supposed to go to.
By the way, she finished third. Doesn't he hate losers?
He can't hate losers anymore unless he hates himself.
Yeah,
he
I'm really sure the straight-laced academic types, you know, like the teachers with tenure at UNC and all these real, like, they have definitely been embarrassed by this.
There's
you know,
quotes.
Their friends are calling them, like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, no. There's quotes that those people are anonymously quoted as saying, we sold our soul, that's clear. Now I just wonder, are we going to get anything in return for it?
There wasn't, here's the thing. I think North Carolina will not emerge from this in a sympathetic light. I think North Carolina will recover quickly because while there was some circus level sideshow when Belichick took the job back in the spring, it wasn't even close to the debacle that it's become now.
617-779-7937. Is Bill Belichick tarnishing his legacy? Is he doing damage to his reputation? Is he still the greatest coach in football history, if you ever believed that at all? Some of us didn't, including his GM, who wrote a book and said Paul Brown, the guy I believe, is the greatest coach in football history. But is he doing permanent damage, or are we simpletons? Do we just, when he passes on, when they write the obituary, is it all about Bill Belichick, the six-time Super Bowl champion in New England, won a couple more titles as a defensive coordinator? Does this get bumped down the obituary? Is this a bottom extra piece of information? Or is he doing legitimate damage to his reputation the way he did in the post-Brady Patriots tenure in New England?
Okay, so you have people in the Twitch chat right now. Scrumple Stiltskin, great name. Fully tarnished, has now lost all aura. Where else could he go? Like, he's just made himself a gridiron pariah.
Oh, yeah, no, he done. Whenever he leaves North Carolina, he is absolutely done. I don't even think the jokes. Remember the jokes? Oh, he'll go coach Nantucket. They need a high school coach or the Nantucket lacrosse team. I don't think there's a person in America that would hire Bill Belichick to coach their team, whether they were 5-year-olds, 20-year-olds, or 35-year-olds. He is unhireable when it comes to an end at North Carolina.
I would argue, though, Andy, if Bill does not finish the season and he is indeed let go, our bet is off. He didn't get a chance
absolutely
to finish the
not.
Season. They didn't let him.
Five
they didn't
games
let
in.
The brilliance play out.
Nope.
You're
not going to be one of those people,
wash.
Are you?
That would be a wash.
You're not going to be a welter at that level.
I mean, technically, the bet would be null and void.
Wow. That's embarrassing.
Thank you.
I don't know how you live with yourself.
Now, Andy.
That's something Bill would do.
Now,
that's very Belichickian of you.
Now,
he wouldn't pay his debts either.
Great minds think alike. There you go.
A brokered sort of like, you know, there's going to be a buyout with Belichick. They don't want to pay him the full $30 million.
They're trying to get out of the buyout. They're trying to say that he is being fired cause.
If he was winning right now.
He told parents not to talk to him.
Well, I mean, he spared them some time dealing with his awkwardness.
To be fair, talking to him, not always a great experience.
Not the greatest
experience.
But this is 100%. You can look at it as like, oh, the sideshow and circus. Oh, you can look at these minor rules violations. This 100% is because the team sucks.
Yeah, and the team sucks because he put the team together. 617-779-7937. Bill Belichick, is he done at North Carolina? And is he done as the greatest coach in history? Has he done permanent damage? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
The stories now are emerging. Multiple sources, multiple stories, multiple leaks at Carolina that Bill Belichick and Mike Lombardi, it is a disaster. Parents hate him. Administrators can't stand him. And this is what happens when you lose. People keep quiet when you're winning because nobody wants to hear it and you'll get called out. But when you're losing, the truth comes out.
That was Colin Cowherd on the story, I would say, of the day, the week, the month, maybe the year. This legitimately could be the sports story of the year, the way this has unfolded and all the ups and downs and ebbs and flows to Bill Belichick. Let's rewind to last. It was December when they hired him, right?
You're saying this is bigger than Tyson Paul?
A little bit. Other than that sham that I bought into and wanted to think Mike Tyson had a shot in Hades. But back to whatever the guy's name is, don't need to know it, but ripped his sleeves off his sport coat and he's sitting there and they're handing Bill. And
Bill's first words were beat Duke. You don't have a shot in hell of beating Duke, I don't think. You couldn't beat a high school team.
You think those guys from UNC that introduced Bill Belichick work mostly from home now?
Yeah, they should be embarrassed. You know, because you have to, those people have to sit in meetings.
Those people.
With multimillionaires/billionaires, right? Like you, that's how universities work. You need all those donors and rich people. The guy that just gave Stanford $50 million. Those are the circles you were in when you're an athletic director or all those chancellors. They sold their soul. I keep going back to the quote from an academic professor. They sold their soul for Bill Belichick and they've gotten no return except bad press, criticism.
Well, there's no such thing as bad press,
and
right?
Oh, there is. There is. I know they say that, but sometimes those cliches and sayings aren't exactly right. There is plenty of bad press to go around. 617-779-7937. In case you missed it, there are now reports that the University of North Carolina is holding meetings on a potential, quote, exit strategy for Bill Belichick. There is a belief by at least one reporter for 24/7 Sports who covers UNC Tar Heels. Bill Belichick may not be the coach of the Tar Heels when they play again next weekend against Cal. 617-779-7937. Has he tarnished his legacy? Is he no longer the greatest coach in history? Is he the worst college football coach in history? Let's go to the phone line. Let's go to Jason in the Cape. What's up, Jason?
Now, so whether or not he is the best or the worst, that certainly is a matter of opinion. Hmm. And since opinions count, and what people least think of you last is what I like to say. What's the last thing you did? He's not doing such a hot job on leaving his legacy. I think of other people in sports who did a lot of great things, but the last thing they remember about them is what they did wrong. So I was thinking about Bill Buckner. I was thinking about Pete Rose, great baseball players, but the last thing people remember is the bad things that happened. I think you want to leave the sports arena, leaving people with the best impression of yourself. And a lot of people I talk to just say it's a man with a girlfriend who's 50 years old. He's 50 years older, and that's what people think of him now. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but that's what most people talk about.
Thanks for the call, Jason. I have trouble blaming this one on Jordan. Jordan has done a lot. What has Jordan done to ruin the season? Like, is Jordan the one who...
Well, she could be the Matt Patricia of North Carolina.
Fired all the recruiting specialists and then realized, oh, shoot, we don't know how to recruit. We should probably get some people back in here who know how this landscape works. Like, and maybe she did. I mean, we could find out later. She fired everybody, for all I know. But this is on Bill. If you try to scapegoat her, blame her, that's pretty low. And I also think there's a difference between crimes and non-crimes. Like, Pete Rose was essentially accused of crimes.
Yes.
Against baseball, gambling, all of that. And yet, I still think people believe Pete Rose is the greatest hitter of all time. Like, he's got more hits than anybody. They still remember that. And I still think when all this dust settles, they're going to remember Bill Belichick more for what he did with the Patriots than they will for the ending here.
This is a crap album in the history of being a great star.
Players petering out, very common. Right? It happens. Steven Jackson would be a great example locally. We saw Steven Jackson, or hell, half the guys they brought through here. John Lynch, Reggie Wayne, right? Those are great players, Hall of Fame caliber players who we saw the last ditch effort to hang on and collect a paycheck. Mm-hmm. It's normal. A coach shouldn't lose his physical fastball necessarily, unless there's something going on with his deterioration, his brain,
you're talking about
whatever.
His cognitive well-being?
Like, he didn't lose a step, quote unquote. Like, it's not like he can't cover anymore. He has just lost his way decision making. And I told you, Fitzy, that famous, not that famous, that video of Bill, I believe, at a concert with Jordan holding his hand and him doing what I'd like to call the nursing home shuffle, where you shuffle your feet across the old people at the nursing home that, you know, you go see grandpa and you take him for a walk down the hallway to the calf or to the game room. That was a weird look for me. That is when I thought, this doesn't look quite right. And I do wonder if he's lost some of his capabilities. But if you read these stories, they say he can still coach. They say if you go listen to him talk to a D end, talk to a tackle, talk to a safety in practice, he can still coach football.
Yeah, it's not artificial intelligence when you see these highlights of him talking to people on the field. And it sounds ultimately similar to all the Patriots highlights we watched over the years about you belong over here. You have to do this. Come on, run it again. Oh, I can't stand it. I don't think he's lost his coaching fastball. I think he's lost his decision-making fastball off the field, which is what's led to the Mad King in the castle, cutting down on the coordinators, surrounding himself with family and friends, ultimately losing his job in New England, finding his way someplace to an establishment, a university, a program that some said was beneath him, which hardly seems the case right now, considering the hot water that he's in. He's done this in large part to himself. He opened the door. They say about vampires, they cannot come into your house unless you invite them. He is the one who opened the door and said, Jordan, please, by all means, come in. And she is not solely responsible for this by any stretch.
And then UNC invited Bill Belichick into their house, their football house, and he's done a lot of damage to their reputation. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ted and Quincy. What's up, Ted?
Hey, guys. Great show. Love listening to you.
Thanks.
I have a theory. Ever since the Belichick-Brady split up, I've always been on the Chris Curtis side of the coin, where I always thought it was Brady, not Belichick.
Oh.
And as I look back over his career, my feeling is he's like a CEO of a company that walked in and had a great staff and a turnkey operation. If you look at the coaches he had back over the years, but especially in the early days when they started winning Super Bowls, I mean, nobody's as good as Scarnecchia. Flores, Patricia when he's on the right side of the ball, McDaniels. I mean, the guy did nothing in Cleveland, came to New England, had a slow start, but then either he built the coaching staff, and this is really a question for Ted, did he actually build that coaching staff, or did he walk into most of it and just get lucky? And then for all these years, he had the ability to oversee an operation that was already humming versus creating it and doing the job himself. So,
all right, thanks for the call, Ted. And we'll answer that question next. Did Bill Belichick put together the great coaching staffs early in the dynasty in New England, or did he kind of luck into it? Is even the successful portion of his career more questionable beyond Tom Brady and the six rings they collected together in New England? 617-779-7937. Ted Johnson, three-point stance, and an answer to Ted's question up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.